Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on? Guys, it's Chris again here, and just wanted to give you a heads up. There's a couple weird things going on. First of all, it is Halloween in about 2 hours, so that is always one of my favorite holidays. First time this year I'm going to have the day off in probably 6 years, so I'm looking forward to that. And then also, you know, I live in Vegas, and so prior to this I lived in New York City, and it was cold. Like, obviously the Northeast is very cold. I was there for about 5 years, but let me tell you something. It is 30 degrees here in Vegas right now, and it is cold. I have a space heater on next to me. I hope you can't hear it. It's about 30 degrees, and 30 degrees in the desert is a little different than 30 degrees on the East Coast. So just giving you a heads up, if you do hear that, I really, 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 really apologize. You shouldn't, though. I do have it on low enough to where you shouldn't hear it. You can reach out to me on Twitter at TheCOPlaceToGo, and on Twitch at TheCOPlaceToGo as well. Just like I say every week, I appreciate everyone listening to me and to anybody else at the WWE Podcast. You can find them at Twitter at @_WWE_podcast. And wherever you're listening to me, I appreciate it. Wherever you listen to everyone, much appreciated. It's available on Speaker, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com, which is relatively new. First thing I'm going to start with today is going to be this week in WWE, like I usually do. Crown Jewel is in a matter of 12 hours. So I'm going to start out with that. My predictions on Crown Jewel, because I know, you know, other people have talked about that. I know Matt's talked about it. But my predictions for Crown Jewel, I'm just going to go through them pretty quickly. Big match announced, I believe it was yesterday. Maybe it was today, but I believe it was yesterday. First ever women's match in Saudi Arabia. It's going to be Natalya versus Lacey Evans. To be honest, I can't see how Natalya won't get the win, as she's been kind of gunning for this for years when they had the matches in Dubai. And in any other area, she has been the one that says she wants to do it. I can't see how they're not going to give her the win over Lacey Evans. I just think it's the right thing to do for the veteran. I feel like she, I don't want to say deserves it. I mean, me more than anybody else is kind of tired of seeing Natalya, but this is a good spot for her as a professional and a good spot to put any of their performers in who've been around a long time. I see Natalya with the win on this one. We're going to go back up to the top, though. Brock versus Cain Velasquez for the title. I just can't see how Brock's going to lose. I think it will be pretty close. I think it will be a tight match. I don't know how it's going to end, but I think Brock does retain barely. Fiend versus Seth Rollins. Now, this match to me is kind of weird. They had a very rough Hell in a Cell. The match was ended, I feel, improperly. I mean... For me, I want to see Bray Wyatt win. I want to see The Fiend with the belt. I think they could do some awesome things. The thing is he's going to be a champ who is not around all the time, because that's a character that you don't want to wear out. You don't want the fans to sour on something like The Fiend, because he is a special attraction. So I could see him winning and maybe Bray Wyatt having some matches with the championship, with the Fiend coming out. Obviously more often than Finn Balor's demon, but still something similar to that. Seth Rollins, to me, his gimmick has kind of fallen off, the burn it down thing. Like, I get it, it's cool, his music's cool, but he's just, I'm over Seth Rollins. I'm looking for that heel turn again, kind of the direction he's going, but I think, for me, I would love to see Bray Wyatt win. Tyson Fury versus Braun Strowman. This is a lose-lose situation for Braun Strowman. It's not going to be a typical wrestling match. Tyson Fury will win. He is pumping his match with Deontay Wilder. It is going to be a promotional thing for cross-promotion between boxing, WWE. Tyson Fury will get the win. No questions asked, hands down. Next match is... So last year's Battle Royale winner was Mansoor. He is from Saudi Arabia. He is facing Cesaro. This is a 100% Mansoor win. There's no possible way Cesaro gets this win just because he's in his home country. If they were fighting in, you know, Germany, or they were fighting in Brazil, or, you know, here in the United States, so I'm pretty sure Cesaro gets the win. But being the fact that it's in Saudi Arabia, it's going to be like a showcase for Mansoor. And it's hopefully it's a good match. Cesaro always puts on good matches. But it definitely will be a Mansoor win. Then next, it's going to be on the kickoff show. I was going to start with this just to kind of have some like top to bottom of the card. But the other matches to me are more important. You've got the U.S. Championship Battle Royal. I haven't seen all the participants. I mean, you got to think, with all the people who are fighting in this, they bring in, what, 50 to 60 wrestlers with them. So, you know, everyone's going to get a little bit of that paycheck, that Saudi money. In this Battle Royal, there's two people that stick out to me. One is Shelton Benjamin. The other one is Humberto Carrillo. I do see, so the winner of this gets to face AJ Styles later in the night. I do see either one of those two winning, both putting on a good match with AJ Styles. But at the end of the day, for the U.S. Championship match, you're going to look at AJ Styles as the winner. Next match we got is a tag team turmoil match. Now, these matches to me always are a little unnecessary. It's a good way to get a whole bunch of people on the card, but in reality, it's not an interesting match for me, you know, because there's just too many guys. It ends up turning out to be a battle royal. It's just not exciting. But you've got the New Day, obviously without Xavier Woods, tore his Achilles. So you got New Day, Heavy Machinery, The Revival, The OC, Lucha House Party, Hawkins and Ryder, The B Team, Dolph Ziggler, Bobby Roode, and the Viking Raiders. I save the Viking Raiders for last because I'm pretty sure they're going to win. I think it's going to come down to them versus either Roode and Ziggler or The Revival. Heavy Machinery and New Day, to me, both kind of comedy acts. New Day, great champions, multi-time champions, multi-time champions. But right now, you got the War, or the Viking Raiders. I keep calling them the War Raiders because that's who they are to me. But you got the Viking Raiders on a run. The only way I see that not happening is if for some reason the Authors of Pain are inserted into the match. What I think is going to happen is the Viking Raiders are going to win, and Authors of Pain, AOP, is going to come out, and they're going to end up fighting, beating them up. It's going to set up a real rough house feud. I don't see any other outcome other than that. And finally, I'm going to go with the Team Hogan versus Team Flair. Now, this is kind of cool because you get to see Hogan and Flair. Obviously, they don't have any other old school guys, like old veterans, going to Saudi Arabia this year fighting that we know of. But you've got Team Hogan, you got Roman Reigns, Ricochet, Rusev, Ali, and Shorty G. It's still an embarrassing name every time I say it. Team Flair, you've got Randy Orton, King Corbin, Lashley, McIntyre, and Nakamura. So you've got a bunch of giants against a bunch of tiny guys. I mean, Nakamura is small, and you got Reigns and Rusev on the other team. But if you look at Orton, Corbin, Lashley, McIntyre, Team Flair should dominate this match. But a majority of them are heels. All of them are heels, to be quite honest. Team Hogan should win this. There was a thing I saw on WWE.com. I don't know if it was an exclusive or they played it somewhere. It was from yesterday. They were doing some promotional stuff for Saudi Arabia, and you had Flair talking to Byron Saxton. He had Hogan talking to who knows who. and Flair told him he was going to knock him out. Now, I did see yesterday Ric Flair got medically cleared. I don't know how, but he got medically cleared, so expect a classic Ric Flair takes a bumps, and it should be a, I mean, hopefully a decent match, I guess. I think it's going to be quick. It's very Survivor Series-esque. I do see Hogan and Flair both getting it mixed up. Now, I did read somewhere that Hogan's been walking around with a single crutch. So that, to me, is a little concerning. And Ric Flair, to me, is always like 3 hours from death. He does look rough after his health scares the last couple years. He does look a little rough. So, I mean, I hope they don't do anything to hurt themselves. But it would be good. You know, what could be a huge kayfabe is if Hogan is walking around with that crutch, but is actually doing pretty well. Because, I mean, he did walk out to the ring minus the crutch, but now for this Saudi trip, he's got the crutch. I mean, I will say a long flight like that could lead to some hip and back problems, and guess what? That's what he's got. I see this team. The faces are going to go over. Team Hogan's going to win. I'm going to switch it up now and go to the weekly happy birthday. Today's happy birthday was going to be Edge. Edge turns 46. It's mind-blowing to me that Edge is 46, because I remember him in the late 90s when he was young, mid, early 20s. One of my favorite wrestlers towards the mid-2000s before he had to retire. He did some great singles work, but you're always going to remember him as a tag team champ with Christian. Some of the matches he put on with the Hardys and the Dudleys were absolutely amazing. Some of his solo feuds are pretty good with Cena, even his one with Christian. Like, it elevated Christian. I thought that was really, really good, you know, because he was always the piece, the better of the two in terms of solos. And then his stuff with Matt Hardy due to the real-life Lita issues were fantastic. He did have to retire due to neck injuries, but he's working out towards a return. There has been some talk that he is cleared. Is that possible? How do you, you know, you go from I'm going to die if I wrestle another match, you know, similar to Austin and, you know, and Angle and things like that. And Angle was able to return, but I would like to think that Edge's was a little more serious than Angle. And, you know, obviously they take the everything medical and the clearing very, very seriously now. They should have the whole time, but they take it very seriously now. And if he's healthy, I would love to see him return, even if it's for a one-off match, would be fantastic. It's something I'd like to see. I kind of hope he's in Saudi Arabia. I don't believe he's supposed to be there, but I think that would be awesome. So now let's get into NXT, the reason you guys listen. So last week's episode highlights, I'm going to run through those real quick. Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair, great feud that continued. Io Shirai and LeRae came in with Io Shirai helping Bianca Belair, Candice LeRae helping Rhea Ripley. A little bit of foreshadowing for tonight, maybe. You had Angel Garza versus Jack Gallagher, nice feud. That should begin with Lio Rush and Angel Garza. That should be very high-flying, action-packed matches. Do we see it at War Games? Maybe. Do we see it in a couple weeks? Maybe something on one of the NXT shows? Maybe. We'll see, but I don't want them to jump right into a War Games match. Hopefully titles don't change. Hopefully it ends up being a decent, lasting feud for more than 1 month. The absolute best part of last week was that North American Championship match. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. That was my NXT match of the year so far. I don't see another match that has happened as of yet that has been even... There's been some close ones, but nothing remotely close to that match. It was absolutely fantastic. It kept Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic, because there was no true pin, it kept them in line for a potential grudge match, which I would love to see, because their matches have been great. Roderick Strong did pick up the win, very, very sneaky, causing it just with the week before, he knocked them out. He got the win. It was a very, very good match. Again, my NXT match of the year. I would love to see that match again. But just between the two, you can take out Roderick Strong, put him in another feud. Totally don't mind. Maybe a returning Velveteen Dream once he's healthy. And then Finn Balor came out, which was right after this match. Finn Balor came out, and he sided with Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, which was fantastic. He goes to take the jacket off. Midway through taking that jacket off, he bicycle kicks Gargano and then beats the crap out of him. Like, it was a beating. So that's going to kind of set up that Finn Balor heel turn, clearly setting up a match with Gargano. I was thinking you're going to get Balor, Ciampa, Gargano, maybe Velveteen Dream, throw him into a nice War Games match. Clearly that's not going to happen. We're going to break it up separately. But we do have some War Games stuff coming up in this in just a second. So for tonight's NXT show, there was only 5 matches. So 2 weeks ago, there were 7. Last week, there were 6. This week, only 5. But what I will say about this week is instead of adding an extra match, what they did was they were able to put in a lot of post-match setups for War Games. Not a lot of promos this week. One big promo from Finn Balor. But it was a good match. They didn't waste any time. And I was thinking, you know, you go from 7 to 6 down to 5. Why are we cutting matches? Are we getting more to that WWE style where it's like we are going to do a lot of pre-recorded promos and things like that? But no, they made it work. It came out fantastic. First match of the night was Io Shirai, Candice LeRae. That was set up last week with Shirai running in on Rhea Ripley and Candice LeRae kind of coming to her aid. I mean, in reality, to take out Io Shirai. Poppy, who I'd never heard of before. I guess she's a YouTube sensation. Got an album coming out beginning of next year. Was playing some songs. I think it was called I Disagree, if I'm not mistaken. She was out and ended up playing the intro for Io Shirai. It was a very takeover style. Like, you know, you don't see on a normal weekly a weekly show, you don't typically see people doing live music takeovers.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You've got... So that was good. Shirai is the fantastic performer. She, some of the moves she does and things like that is just amazing. Like she's very Kairi Sane, Asuka-ish. I do like Shirai a little bit more than Kairi Sane. Asuka to me though is fantastic. You're gonna hear me talk about her here in a little bit, but it's very Io Shirai's great. She had a really big drop kick off the top rope. My problem with that move is because there's a lot of back and forth in this. My problem with the drop kick. It was during one of those picture-in-picture commercials, and that's one thing that I hate that they do, and I understand the reason. They say they don't want to lose the action. They don't want to not show the wrestling. And you go to commercials, and, you know, old school in the 90s, you would go to commercials, and it would be rest holds. Like, they almost knew when they were going to commercial, they would be on the ground doing a rest hold, come back. The guy who's in the hold is just fighting back. So I get what they're doing, but... You know, it does take away some of it, especially when some of your big offense is going to happen during that. And that's a big 2 thumbs down for me on that. That was no good. But like I said, there was a lot of back and forth action in this match. It was a great rematch from TakeOver Toronto. So, I mean, we're talking, somewhere between January and March. It was a great match. Like I said, back and forth, it was a big mid-air collision between the two. That led to Candice LeRae finally getting a little bit of offense in on her own, like being able to put multiple pieces together. She had a nice running dropkick, which turned into a tornado DDT. Close pin count, obviously wasn't going to get it. Eventually, Io Shirai brought in a chair. Now, when you bring in a chair and it's not a no DQ match, obviously you get hit with it. It is going to be a disqualification. So the ref got her to put it down. But it wasn't thrown out of the ring. And so, you know, I'm watching, I'm thinking, I wonder if this chair is going to have anything to do with the rest of the match. And it sure did. So Candice LeRae went up for a moonsault. I mean, it was high risk. But, you know, Shirai moved. Candice LeRae lands on the chair. Game over. Shirai gets the pin. And it was nice little foreshadowing there with the chair being left in the ring. Figured it would have something to do with it. Shirai gets ready to take the chair to LeRae. Rhea Ripley comes out for the save. So it's setting up that little, you know, you pat my back, I pat yours from last week. Again, I'm going to use the word foreshadow. I've used it like 3 or 4 times now. It's going to foreshadow something for later on. This match got a 2.5 out of 5. Nothing super crazy that really stood out. Io Shirai's entrance was fantastic. That was, you know, news to me. It wasn't something planned. So that got that extra 0.5. Other than that, it was a 2 out of 5. But the 0.5 for the intro. Next match we had was Bronson Reed versus Shane Thorne. Now, this is a match of two pretty big men from Australia. So you got Bronson Reed, who's what, 350 pounds or something. He is just this mountain of a guy. And Shane Thorne has got that more WWE built, like, you know, just strong dude. Used to be in, what was it, TM60, TM90. I forgot the name of that team. One of the dudes got released. Shane Thorne's still there. But it wasn't a ton of action. It was a lot of chops. And these dudes took it to each other. Not Walter style, not that intense, but they took it to each other. And it was a decent show of strength hitting each other. But eventually we got to some cool spots in the match. There was one point where Bronson Reed was thrown into the turnbuckle, and he, mind-blowing to me, he jumped over Thorne, who was going into the corner. Now, of course, he did use the bottom rope, but showed a little athleticism for a dude who's probably 350 pounds, if not more, to be honest. He jumped over, and he had an amazing German suplex. He tossed him over, like, kind of Brock Lesnar style, but he tossed him over pretty intensely. Like, I was actually concerned for Shane Thorne's head. It was a little bit over-rotated, but I would have to say that he was going to... It wasn't going to be a non-release. It was always a release, but and he was going to land on his shoulders. But to me, it looked like he landed more on the side of his head. He almost rotated to hit his front. That's the way I saw it. Feel free to watch that and let me know if I'm wrong. But I'm pretty sure that's what it looked like. Then there was this... I don't know the name of the move. They just called it a driver. It was like a reverse pile driver. He had him up. I thought he was going to hit him with the Alabama slam, but he kind of let his head go down a little more. To me, it was like a mix between a reverse pile driver and a brain buster. In the replays, you can't see how that was pulled off, but when you look at Shane Thorne's head from the side going down, you look like he gets driven right there. Now, he had to have tucked his head. Maybe Bronson Reed pushed back a little bit to where he would have hit his shoulders, but that move and the release German suplex, those two moves combined, I think Shane Thorne's dead. Someone needs to check on him, because those were insane moves. Now, of course, because it's wrestling, both of those moves should have finished it. Mid-90s it would have been done, mid-2000s, game would have been over. But Shane Thorne recovers, and both get on the top rope. Now, Shane Thorne goes for a hurricanrana. He is tossed off the rope, almost in like a choke slam mannerism from Bronson Reed, which led to Reed hitting a huge splash off the top rope. I was thinking he was going for the frog splash. It wasn't a frog splash. It was just a huge splash. But let me tell you something. It was intense. Game over for Shane Thorne. I'm only giving it a 2 out of 5 because the beginning with the chops, it took about 2 to 3 minutes of chops. To me, it was a little like you're going to lose people watching that. With AEW on at the same time, you see two dudes just chopping at each other. It's not Ric Flair from the 80s. So it was a 2 out of 5 for me. Next match is Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox versus Kabuki Warriors. This is for the women's tag team championship? I believe it was. It was nice to see Asuka in the NXT ring again. I feel she's somewhat been wasted in WWE. Her and Kairi Sane, great team. They just had an angle on Raw on Monday night where they spit the green mist in Paige's face, saying they don't need Paige now that they're tag team champions. Cool. I was a huge Asuka fan. Wish she never left NXT. Beginning of the match was all Asuka and Kairi Sane. I mean, Asuka worked on Dakota Kai the majority of the match, to be honest, but the beginning for sure, a lot of submission holds. Dakota Kai's knees were just completely taken out. They used some great tag team tactics to keep Kai from tagging Tegan Nox. Eventually, Dakota Kai hit this nice little spin kick on Kairi Sane, where both were crawling to their corners. Asuka gets tagged in. Tegan Nox gets a hot tag. Ends up taking out Kairi Sane and Asuka. Eventually, she goes for the Shiniest Wizard, which did not work out. Asuka grabbed her most recent hurt knee. Which knee it was, who knows? They're both all Steve Austin metal kneed up. And worked it with a submission hold for a while. Kai did get a little bit of offense in on Kairi Sane. And eventually it ended up being that Kairi Sane found a way to distract the referee. Asuka hit Dakota Kai with the green mist. As Tegan Nox is coming in for the save, Asuka knocks her back out of the ring. Kairi Sane hits the insane elbow drop where you have Dakota Kai laying on her stomach. Real intense. I think it's because she's so small, Kairi Sane is very, very tiny, that this elbow drop looks super intense. It was, she got that for the win. Nice little bit of ring awareness. You have Kairi Sane covering Dakota Kai's face, so the ref can't see the green mist. After the match, he sees it. Match has already been called. Kabuki Warriors with the win. Keep the belt 3-5 because the post-match got crazy. So post-match, Kabuki Warriors leave. They're not involved in this type of stuff. So you got Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai recovered in the ring. Out comes the three of the four horsewomen. You got Shayna Baszler, Marina Shafir, and Jasmine Duke. They come out to start beating up Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai. Tegan Nox gets some nice hits on Baszler. Obviously, 3-2, a little bit too much. Then you have Rhea Ripley who comes out. You have Bianca Belair who comes out. You have Io Shirai who comes out. You have Candice LeRae who comes out. And it is just insane in the ring. And you kind of had the good guys and the bad guys all in different spots. Good guys stay in the ring. So faces in the ring. You got the heels outside. You got your amazing general manager, I will say, William Regal. He comes out and he's just like, all right, you guys want to fight? You want to do this? We're going to have the first ever Women's War Games. Sets up the Women's War Games match. First ever. Looking forward to it. Now, you're going to have captains. It's going to be Baszler and Ripley. I'm pretty sure I know where this is going. We will talk about that later when we talk about the post-match stuff. But we got two more matches to get through before we can get to that. The next match was Tyler Bate and Cameron Grimes. So this match got set up because Cameron Grimes, who was it? Matt Riddle, went to give him a fist bump. Cameron Grimes wanted nothing to do with it, so Matt Riddle fist bumped Tyler Bate, who was sitting in the stands. So he's sitting in the front row, gets the fist bump. Cameron Grimes takes umbrage to it, pushes him, and then walks back over towards him and gets knocked out by Tyler Bate. So that set up this match. And even last week, 3 weeks ago, I think I said the same thing. I want to see more Cameron Grimes. Like, he was great in the indies, and I just want to see more. This week, we got that. Cameron Grimes looked very athletic, and his style seemed to work very well with Tyler Bate, who's smaller. Trevor Lee / Cameron Grimes is not that big, but Tyler Bate is smaller, and they just worked well together. Now, Bate controlled the majority of this match. I don't want to say that Grimes did a ton of different things, because he sure didn't, but he did. In the things he did look very athletic, and he was able to work that style. Now, Bate controlled it, like I said, with British strong style all day. You had one great move towards the beginning as Grimes turned a backflip into a really nice German suplex. That was one of his only offensive moves until the end that really stood out. Bate took over that match with countless European uppercuts. I mean, he did them standing there while they were trading blows. He did it running off the ropes. He even did a uppercut from the top rope. Like, it is his, that's that British strong style move. That is his stuff. It works out very well. And then he had a nice exploder suplex into a running shooting star press. That was kind of the beginning of the end of the match. Grimes got knocked out of the ring. Bate hit him with a nice over-the-top dive outside as he throws him back in, clearly going for the pin. Bate sees Killian Dane, who at that point, I don't know if he was in the stands or he was standing on the outside. He did see him, and that kind of led to maybe a 3-5 second distraction. Cameron Grimes got up as Bate gets in the ring. He hit him with his cave-in, which is a fantastic move. It's like feet to the neck, if you want to say it. Standing up, down to the ground, slamming in. He gets the pin. Bate loses. Grimes gets the win. But what this does is this set up a feud. Now, I don't know if it's going to be with Tyler Bate, but after the match, Dane comes in, hits Tyler Bate with a senton, and then he hit him on the steel steps, threw him into the steel steps, hit him with a nice cannonball dive.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Dane screams in his face, tell your friend Pete Dunne we have unfinished business. And that's kind of how that match ended. The one thing I will say about the end of that match is that it does really set up a Killian Dane, which I find weird because they have already mentioned that Pete Dunne is going to face Damian Priest in a rematch of 2 weeks ago when it was Killian Dane, Damian Priest, great match. Pete Dunne, Damian Priest, and it that's when Killian Dane came out and, you know, pointed at Pete Dunne to set up this future feud. I see Killian Dane facing Tyler Bate first and then maybe getting a Pete Dunne. I do see Killian Dane probably doing a run-in or something in this Damian Priest match. I can't see a tag team match because Dane really isn't friends with anybody. So I would love to see Dane and Priest versus, you know, some British Strong Style Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate. They were great together. Very, very impressive. I just don't see Dane teaming with anybody. But if so, you know, again, we had the ridiculousness of losing Sanity, which I'm still mad about, but we're not going to get into that today. But that was a good match. Nice little setup. I give that one a 3 out of 5. It was a good match. Finally, in our main event, we had the Undisputed Era. It was Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Of course, you had Roderick Strong on the outside, and eventually Adam Cole. Versus Matt Riddle and Keith Lee. So this match was set up because Undisputed Era, after that three-man North American Championship last week, they just... The great line I heard was, you know, eventually you poke the bear so many times, he's going to attack. So that's kind of what they did with Keith Lee. So he got a tag team partner, Matt Riddle. To me, it's an odd tag team between the two. But obviously, both are faces going against a couple heels. And it's going to continue the storyline for everybody. You know who I really would have loved when he was going for a tag team partner? I would have loved if he had Dijakovic, but I think we're still in line for a blow-off match between the two, so I don't see that happening until later. But could you imagine the dominant tag team that Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic would be? That would be intense. So for this match, Riddle took the majority of the punishment for the team. Kind of makes sense because if you see the size difference between Bobby O'Reilly or Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly with Keith Lee, it is absolutely insane. Like, you know, Matt Riddle did get some offense in early on Bobby Fish. Mauro Ranallo even commented, because you look at the fluidness of the Undisputed Era, they're obviously a team that's been around a long time, but they, you know, Mauro Ranallo even said that they teach each other strikes and grapples, and so they're a very strong team. And with Ranallo commenting on it, I was looking at it the whole time. I'm like, dude, these guys are fluid as hell. But that's what it was. Matt Riddle did get some offense in, like I said, but he was consistently met with numerous kicks and strikes that would stop the offense quickly. He did get hit with a brainbuster, which was actually a pretty solid brainbuster. It looked pretty good. Lee finally got the tag in. Now, Matt Riddle did hit a spear and a jackhammer in this match, so a little out to Edge, who we were talking about before with that spear. And the jackhammer, classic Goldberg move. But when Lee finally got that tag in, he had a nice double clothesline, which, honestly, O'Reilly and Fish were going to kick him. He literally knocked their kicks down as he was running, hit him with a double clothesline, hit him with a nice double backdrop. He went up for a moonsault and missed. I just think it was bad placement for the move. Obviously, it was, you know, part of the story, but it was just, you don't have to go for the moonsault. You can throw these guys around however you want to. You don't have to do that. He did, missed. Didn't work out well. Bobby Fish hit a Samoan drop on Keith Lee that, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't see that coming. It was great, though. So they did a little back and forth. You had all of Undisputed Era outside, all four guys. Matt Riddle hit a nice Asai moonsault onto them on the outside, which knocked everybody down. Eventually, You know, Keith Lee was outside as well. You had Adam Cole standing up, Roderick Strong kind of behind him, about 3 feet. Keith Lee hit the pounce, and I don't know if you remember the pounce, but he hit the pounce on Adam Cole, which sent him flying 5 feet backwards through Roderick Strong into the barricade. It was a great move. No matter how you do that, it is raw strength hitting somebody, and yeah, you can bounce off, but it is 320 pounds hitting Adam Cole, who's probably, what, 220, maybe, at the most, 210. It was a great move outside. Now, while that was happening, obviously Lee was distracted outside. Matt Riddle was in the ring. He got hit with the high-low. He looked like he was going up for the powerbomb. Bobby Fish got out, and him and O'Reilly hit him for the high-low, which got the pin. Now, after the match, Keith Lee came in. Undisputed Era is there celebrating in the ring. And Keith Lee is looking over Matt Riddle, trying to get him out of the ring. At that point, you have the Undisputed Era in general go to beat him up. They all team up on him. And then out comes Tommaso Ciampa. Ciampa comes out, cleared out everyone. He came out with his crutch, the standard crutch. He cleared everyone out of the ring except Adam Cole. Adam Cole kind of backed himself in the corner, ran out of the ring. And then the three of them, they take their turns just beating up Kyle O'Reilly. Keith Lee gets him in a just like a standing press, threw him on the outside of the ring on that Undisputed Era. Great line, best line of the night. Tommaso Ciampa grabs a mic, the NXT Championship, as he calls Goldie, is laying in the corner. And he says, Goldie, you're going to have to wait. Daddy's going to war. So I don't know what this is going to set up, but hopefully it's good. So I'm going to cover real quick what stood out match-wise. Undisputed Era versus Matt Riddle, Keith Lee. Like I said, great moves by either team. Undisputed Era have the better chemistry. Lee showcased his strength by throwing these guys around. Matt Riddle did get his usual offense in. He did take a lot of the punishment, I believe, personally, due to the size advantages or the disadvantage, I should say, by the Undisputed Era and Keith Lee. Undisputed Era got the win. Tyler Bate, Cameron Grimes, great match. Showcasing talent from both guys, mainly Tyler Bate. He is the more seasoned worker in WWE. Bate dominated the match, but the distraction by Killian Dane, which should set up a future feud, was just a little bit too much for Tyler Bate. And then the women's matches in general, the singles match and the tag match all set up the continuing story and eventually leading to the announced War Games match. The Kabuki Warriors, they showed their strong tag team. And to me, it was a nice little present to see in NXT. Again, I love Asuka. Kairi Sane, I could, you know, take or leave. But Asuka was great to see. Promos tonight, like I said, there wasn't very much. The only promo that really... They did show an Angel Garza vignette. I didn't cover that. My apologies. But Finn Balor, he basically called everyone out in this promo. He even made fun, you know, that whole thing, breaking the fourth wall. He made fun of losing to The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, who just had a new mask, so he said his mask is off now. He said there's too many fans in the locker room who should be sitting in the audience. He doesn't watch the business. He is the business. And he says after he's done with Johnny Wrestling, he was surprised he's already out of the hospital, so he said he's going to put him back. And he said when he's done with Johnny Wrestling, he will be known as Johnny Watches Wrestling. So, full heel turn, Finn Balor. Got some great cheers, though, which, you know, when heels get cheers, that's always weird in the locker room, but he did get some cheers. I'm cheering Finn Balor. I like Johnny Gargano, too, but I'm Finn Balor all the way on this. And then a lot of post-match issues instead of promos. Killian Dane talking about Pete Dunne, Ciampa calling out Adam Cole in the women's War Game setup. This was a great NXT overall. You know, this is a good watch, for sure. It is something I'm interested in watching again when I don't have to, you know, do as much like covering and studying, you know, watch it as a fan rather than as a, you know, as like a reporter covering it. I do want to sit through and watch this again. Great match. Where do we go from here next week? Next week there's only one. Pete Dunne versus Damian Priest. I do see some other matches being set up. There's definitely going to be some mixed tag or maybe a tag team match in the women's division, but there will be something set up other than this one match. I'm looking forward to it. I kind of hoping to see Isaiah Swerve Scott next week. Kind of missed him this week. But you got Pete Dunne, Damian Priest, nice little rematch. Should be hard-hitting and a pretty ruthless match next week. And then War Games. I don't need to call my ideas because we know the women's War Game match. My assumption is going to be Baszler, Shafir, Duke, Belair, and Io Shirai. versus Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai, and who? Who was going to step in that spot? Could someone come down from WWE and join in? Is anyone friends with these people? There's nobody there who stands out on either side to come and fight. You know what I'd love to see who's being misused completely? Ember Moon. Love to see Ember Moon in there. How does she fit in? She's had matches with Shayna Baszler. She's had matches with Bianca Belair. Love to see Ember Moon in that spot. Next one we know that's going to happen is going to be Gargano versus Balor. That is a pretty much given, probably made official next week. Next one that I think is going to happen, now we're going to go with the ideas, Pete Dunne versus Killian Dane. Do we see that at War Games? Or do we see Dane fight Tyler Bate and eventually get to Pete Dunne? We will see. And then lastly, you got Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa. Now, I could see this being a solos match for the NXT Championship, but I think they need to wait. They need to push this feud along. They don't need to rush Ciampa back. I think this would be a great feud if we had a nice little setup here. So I could see the Undisputed Era. So we got Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong. It does take all the championship, like the championships, out of play in that, like War Games. But for me, War Games is more about teamwork, hence the name War Games. It's not always about title matches. You could, you know, there may not even be a title on the line that night. And you know what? I'm totally okay with it because you have grudge matches that set up future feuds. We're talking, this is in November, okay, around Survivor Series. You set up all these so then around Royal Rumble, when you have your next takeover for Royal Rumble, you have championship match set up. You have great long-term feuds. That's what WWE needs. That's what WWE is missing, where NXT excels. So you have those guys, Undisputed Era versus Ciampa, Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, and who else? Who else is the next guy to step up? You know who I'd love to see? Dominik Dijakovic. But I don't see that happening. You know who I do see making his return? Velveteen Dream. I can see that happening. Be a great 4-on-4. And then you have the women's match, which is going to be 5-on-5. I'm looking forward to War Games. I'm looking for NXT every week. Be 100% honest with you. I love AEW. I love the idea of AEW. But NXT is the only show I watch consistently every week because I think it's the best show that WWE puts out every week. So please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at the CEO Place to Go with any questions or comments. I would love to cover them on next week's show. I would love to talk to you guys. Please reach out. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you next week. Enjoy Crown Jewel. Enjoy Halloween. Have a good week, okay?